Football. That's right. You gotta love it. NFL Australia, how are you going? That's right, it's NFL Australia. I'm your co-host, James Clemens. I'm a guy. I really am. You might know me from cobet.com.au if you want to go check out that very excellent website. Or you might see me on Fox Labs, Fox Sports Lab NBA, next to my good friend Ben Dixon. I'm here in Larryama Studios, just hanging out, chilling, not illing. You know, it's cup day here in Melbourne. Wet, it's dreary, got nothing better to do than talk with the bloke on the other side of this here iPad. He's a man who's currently trying to figure out how to change his 6-0 ball tattoo to 7-0. Oh, geez, it's going to be painful. It is the sometime singer in a band called The Ramshackle. He's my mate, he is your mate. It is Gaz. Fly, Eagles, fly. Burn, he's changed his name too. Gaz, what's going on?
Mate, it's I'm just going to hold it out and just add a 1. In front of the 6, mate. It'll be fine. I'm gonna put an AJ Brown tattoo next to my Jalen Hurts tattoo now. It's just, I'm running out of groin space. I'm not gonna lie. There's not much there. There's not much left, mate. But it's really weird because we're talking at fucking, usually it's 9 o'clock at night and we're about 6 cans deep. But it's daytime. We're doing a daytime podcast because of this fucking horse race we got the day off for.
I love it. I'm just curious as to where your Philly tats fit around your Aaron Rodgers tram stand.
Because
you just love him so much. But
one fucking Green Bay Packers event, and apparently I'm a tragic for life.
I love it. Week 8 is done, though. Speaking of which, Aaron Rodgers, he still stinks. What's going on there? Tom Brady also still cooked. Hey, Gaz, see, I don't mind making the playoffs. Anyway, this your beloved Eagles still undefeated. What a wild and weird week it's been. Look, it's been a gnarly couple of weeks. Weird season in general. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Because we'll wrap up week 8. We'll set you up for week 9. That's all we do here at NFL Australia. A lot of talking about the football. So let's bloody well get into it. Episode 58 of NFL Australia. Let's go. Let's ride. Hey, go back to sleep. Let's ride. Oh, hey there. Let's ride. This is Russell Wilson being an insufferable dick. And you're listening to NFL Australia. Let's ride. All right, guys. Tell you what. Nice little drive-by with Russell Wilson doing some high knees. On the plane to
that
London.
That's fucking ridiculous. I don't think we talk about that anywhere else. So just 2 seconds on that. That was a fucking weird story to come out, wasn't it?
It was.
It's just like the plane on the way over where everyone's like, oh, I'm going to have to play with a time difference. And I'm just going to do like fucking squats in the aisle, in the aisle on the plane and shit. Well, that's fucking weird.
While also throwing your teammates under the bus, well, everybody else is asleep. I was actually working the entire... Shut up, Russell, fucking you hell, fucking mate. Dork. Anyway, Gaz, we are at the halfway mark of the NFL season, basically, right? Like, what are we...
Kinda.
It's weird because there's no halfway in it. Like, we've got 17 games, we've got 18 weeks. We're heading into week 9. So it's kind of like we're kind of halfway, but we don't know when halfway really is anymore. It's stupid. It's like, oh, the teams at the halfway, and like there's buys. Anyway, it's a bit of a mess. But it is one of those moments where you go, what have we learned? And you're like, to be honest, not a giant amount. I think we've learned there might be 3 good teams in the NFL this year, and that might be it. And yours is one of them. But anyway, I'll tell you what, one other one that I really liked. Now, we usually start the show with some random thoughts from the week, and it's kind of there, right? The Niners were one of those teams up until like, the injury bug really sort of biting down, like, what, 3 weeks ago? Their defense was absolute chaos. They trade for Christian McCaffrey, and he's out there going, guess what? I'm a quarterback. I'm a receiver. I'm a running back. Just goes out and becomes the first player since 05 to have a touchdown pass, a rushing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown all in the same game. It was fucking chaotic. His catch was awesome, by the way. And so was the throw, to be honest. But either way, it sort of sets up the Niners to have like this cool, like extra gnarly weapon. You're like, ah, yes. Giving Kyle Shanahan one of the most malleable weapons like of all the running backs in the NFL. That might be dangerous.
Debo.
Might have undersold this like last week, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, this would be a fucking weird thing, right? This is only 2 weeks after they got him, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
He had like 3 days' notice, and they're like, you're pretty fucking good. We're just going to call that go ahead play, and you're going to find a hole somewhere, and then you're going to put up some yards. And then a week later, we're doing some trickery.
I love it.
Like, it's, anyway, you just need to stay healthy, because if there's one team that you want to go on as a, as an injury-ridden player, it's the fucking Niners.
Not ideal. Anyway. Some other quick random thoughts. DJ Moore, dog the boys. Oh, jeez. That's it. He's going to pop up again later. Derrick Henry loves playing the Texans. Just another couple of hundy, couple of TDs anyway, he goes. Brady and Rogers, they still stink. What's that, 3 straight for each? I think that's 4 straight for Tom, isn't it? And just pack her up, boys. Pack her up. Did you like that one? Because Packers, pack her.
Yeah, there we go.
I heard some trades. Roquan Smith was traded to Baltimore because what the fuck? Bears? Look, he's like, oh, I want to be traded before the season. And how are we getting Roquan Smith onto the fucking Ravens, Gaz? That's what I ask you. Seriously? Seriously? What? The fucking Pats couldn't afford a second and a fifth round pick? Jesus Christ.
This is the week of, right, that he found out about, as in Smith found out about the Robert Quinn to the Eagles trade in the middle of the press conference and shed a bit of a tear because of apparently they, you know, all look up to the old man. And then, yeah, him within a week has got moving. So you just got to feel sorry for Jazzy Fields, right? Like, full rebuild mode. He's not going to have some weapons around him till what, season 4 of his career?
It's going to be very
tough.
Yeah. Quinn got traded to the Eagles. We saw Kadarius Toney off to the Chiefs, 2 years after he was drafted in the first round by the Giants? They're like, well, we weren't here when he was drafted, so fuck him off. Off where they go. The Chiefs like, yeah, we'll take him, sure.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
If that dude can actually ever stay healthy, could be a weapon, but that's otherwise. Bradley Chubb, he's on the trading block. It's basically, seems like there's a couple of just, you know, teams out there going, oh, well, kick some tires out there and see what we can get. But the Bradley Chubb thing, I think, had they have lost this week, would have been all over Red Rover. But because they've still got a bit of a sniff, they might keep him around.
There's rumors around Hamlin and Judy, and it just pretty much seemed, you're 100% right, it just seemed like everyone in a Denver Broncos jersey not named Rusty Wilson was on the trade block. But as you said, due diligence, mate.
And you've got a point there about the Brandon Cooks types.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, Alvin Kamara, and Kareem Hunt are all over the rumor mill in terms of the owners, the teams being obviously the Texans, the Saints, and the Browns who are listening to offers, right? So we already know, I hate to keep talking about the Eagles, but we know that they made queries about McCaffrey. Supposedly they've been in negotiations for Kamara because the Saints want their first rounder for next year back. And Kareem Hunt can be apparently had for a fourth rounder if you listen to what the rumor mill's saying. So it was all over the storyboards about whether he would actually play this week, considering in today's game, considering that the deadline is tomorrow. But he did. So can I make an assumption about what that means? No, I fucking can't, Jimmy.
I love it. All I'm saying is, like, can we bring Brandon Cooks home to one of his many homes and bring him back?
The rumors about him were all the main ones were all coming back to teams that he'd already played for.
Love it,
right?
He's played for a bunch. So anyway, Cooper Kupp, he got hurt, came out of that Rams game. That was a fucking horror show for the Rams. We'll talk about them in a minute too. But he's expected to be okay after that ankle injury. It's like Sean McVay's like, he'll probably play this week. And Zach Wilson, he's got that dog in him. He might be rooting his mum's best mates, but he's also out here winning Bill Belichick games. You love to see that. So
Jesus,
Big Bill.
That was fucking weird.
The evil empire comes out. Second most coaching wins of all time behind George Halas. Couldn't have happened against the Bears the week before. You're killing me there, Bill. Owe me some money. And, of course, there's still one undefeated team in our random thoughts. That's your beloved Eagles. Go Birds. Go Birds, he screams.
Go Birds.
Right.
Go Bets.
Let's do some scores. Ravens beat the Buccaneers. Remember that? I barely remember that game now. It feels like it was about 8 years ago. 27-22, the Ravens won that one. And it never felt close, right?
Nah. Like, nah, not at all.
It was weird. Like, you had Evans dropping catches. You had Tom Brady screaming at the ground. It felt like every second throw just like, what? Just like losing his mind. And Even though the Bucks got off to a flyer, the Ravens just put them away in that second half and just like, pack her up. That was it. Anyway.
DuVernay had a great game for once. Gus Edwards back, but they're not so back. And then they've just added to the team. So, yeah, that division's getting a little bit spicy.
Yeah, I do love that AFC North. Got a couple of couple of preseason looks at that one as well, and hoping that they pay off, but I think I'm all right. The Patriots, my beloved Patriots, moved to 4-4 with a big win over the Jets. It's a soft J. 22-17, thanks to Zachy Cakes, Adam Wilson, going for three interceptions, a couple of which were...
It wasn't a great quarterbacks game, was it?
It wasn't, actually. So my Zappy stance from last week is pretty much still unimpeachable after, like, Mac Jones didn't really fucking, you know, burn the house down in this one. He was, I think, just really lucky that Zach Wilson was not good. Luckily, the Pats have Ramondre Stevenson they can just lean on. He was pretty bloody awesome. So, but Garrett Wilson, I enjoyed that. But, geez, Zach Wilson just threw that game away. 22-17, good job by the Pats. Big third quarter, a lot of good field goals. Otherwise, you probably don't need to go back and watch this one.
Yeah, the weird thing about that game is, well, afterwards, it's been mentioned that... That even after his couple of games in replacement of Zach Wilson early, we're at, you know, 300-yard-plus games, Flacco's been demoted to third string on that team. Mike White's now in second string, and if Zachy boy can't get his shit together, well, although Salah is all still behind. He's behind Zachy, isn't he?
He is.
Just like, he's the guy.
Robert Salah's like, yeah.
Elijah Moore,
he's
not
good.
So much.
He's fine. We've got his back. Also, Mike White, warm up your arm.
Yeah, I know, right?
But, I mean, that makes sense because you know what Flacco can and can't do, whereas Mike White at least still has, like, some untapped potential and just go, cool, have at it. Might be able to get us over the hump if Zachy Cakes can't. The Broncos beat the Jags in London. This was... Talk about games you don't need to go back and watch either. I watched, like, the back half of this. I'm like, oh, what am I doing? This is just gross. 21-17. Russell basically gets the nice sort of, you know, go-ahead touchdown late. And you're like, yep, cool, Jags out. Good job. Fuck off. Just the Jags. I'll tell you what, Gaz, they are who we thought they were, at least who I thought they were going this season. Everyone's was getting up in their old fields. Oh, Dougie P's going to come in and turn them around. Boom. Smash cut to week 8, and the Jags are 2-6.
When,
I'm like, I told you so.
When's the actual bust word start coming out? Because we had around T-Law, because we, you know, he makes a couple of good passes, like, oh, here's Dougie P's unlike the quarterback whisperer. You know, came from the quarterback factory in Philly. They're just like, he's unlocked the potential. It was all last year. It was Urban Meyer that, like, destroyed this kid. And then you're like, oh, has he, though? has he really unlocked the potential?
It's week 8 into his second fucking, like, into his next year that isn't Urban Meyer related. And what's the stat is, like, he has the worst winning percentage of any number one pick, I think, through his first 25 games, which is chaos. Chaos. Yeah. Like,
considering
this was
meant he was the undoubted number
unimpeachable
one. Like, there was no
one.
Question. Yeah, that's it. That's the word I was looking for.
Absolutely crazy.
But yeah, it's just not. Anyway.
Still, 2-6. I don't think they can win the division now because the Tennessee Titans are doing okay. Anyway, speaking of weird division leaders, how about the Falcons? 4-4. They beat the Panthers in overtime, 37-34. Shouldn't have gone to overtime, but did. They basically shouldn't have won. But they did.
No.
And Younghoe Koo with the game-winning field goal. Love it. This was... look, I got a bit of time for PJ Walker.
He's third-string
Carolina Panther quarterback. He is just... Yep. He's just kind of fun. It just like it adds like a weird sort of element to the Panthers games. You're like, oh, he can do a couple of things. Whereas you watch Baker, you're like,
some spark that you're just like, no. And that pass at the end was fucking...
It was awesome.
Just on point, right?
To DJ get him Moore in, like, laid out, running backwards, beautiful catch, beautiful throw, awesome vibes. DJ Moore takes off his helmet. They get penalized, pushes the extra point further back. We're going overtime after the miss. Yep. Hilarious. But anyway...
Sure, we'll talk a bit more about that one later, mate.
Yep. Cowboys smashed the Bears. It wasn't really... I mean, it was a bit of a smash. But... It wasn't also a smashing... Like, it's 49-29. It's 20 points, but it wasn't until, like, late that the Dallas Cowboys really put this one away, right? A lot of Pollard.
It was a grind at the beginning.
It was.
It was a bit of a grind, and this was the Cowboys without Zeke, so there is a little bit of The crowd got what they wanted to see what Pollard would do as the lead back, and he didn't let him down, right? Like something like 150. No, I'm making that up. I feel like it was like 130 yards, but three touchdowns.
Yep.
And there's a bit of a running back controversy now. But look, Dak is I'm just mixing matching names now. Was sharp, did what he needed to do. Couple of TDs, was efficient. I think 21 of 27. I've not got the page open, so I'm now running on memory. 21 of 27 or something similar to that. So they were just efficient. The Cowboys defense, though, they're the best in the league, but 29 points from this Bears offense is a little bit sketchy. But the play of the game that really, really just fucked it for me was Jazzy Fields going into protection mode and hurdling Micah Parsons, who was scooping up the fumble, and Micah going, he didn't fucking touch me, and scooting towards the end zone for a scoop and score fumble recovery. And all Jazzy needed to do was not be so good at jumping.
Yeah.
He just touched the jersey, and this is down.
There's a point I want to make about that, though. So it's 2 weeks in a row the Bears have played pretty good defenses after the Pats and then the Cowboys, and they put up numbers, right? Like, but this is the thing. You've just got like a...
With who?
Unpredictable quarterback. You're like, oh, wait a minute. If we use Justin Field to his strength...
Yeah.
We might be good. It's like, fucking shit, Eberflus, you idiot. But anyway, they're finally getting there, and they're kind of fun to watch. Like, you'd never expect to say that about the Bears. Who knows? They might not win another game all season, but at least their games will be fun, which is
good. Well, not if they keep trading away fucking players.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
you've got 24 hours.
Fields is, like, just kind of fun. So anyway, whatever.
Well, the one thing that has been shown about the Cowboys, they're, like, they've coming on strength upon strength upon strength. But one thing that has been shown is you can run on them. I mean, the Eagles did it against that defense. The Bears are the number one rushing team in the league. It'll be interesting to see how that comes down the stretch.
I think this is also, so we're right in the middle of the early games. This is also a point where it's like, a lot of points were scored on Sunday, Monday for us, guys. Because that was, 37-34 for the Panthers. This was 49-29. We had 31-27 in the Lions as well, and the Dolphins, which is pretty gnarly. Love the Waddle. Love a bit of Jalen Waddle. The Lions went and fired their defensive backs coach, which I'm like, I'm not sure if that's enough there, Detroit. I don't know if that's the exact problem that you guys have right now.
Yeah.
You didn't score after halftime. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, the Hill-Waddle sort of combo with Tua, you're like, this is what it should look like, but it's hard to judge it because it's against Detroit, who are firing their defensive backs coach and are fucking horrible and give up points to everybody. So, not entirely sure what you take away from this beyond, like, good job by the Dolphins just to get the win and, so I guess, shut them out in that second half. But still, the Vikings, speaking of, like, flying by the seat of their pants, get a couple of big interceptions. Like, Kyler basically just throwing it directly to the Viking. Well, over the top of his own receivers to the Vikings guys. And you kind of sort of sit there and go, Kyler, still short. Kirk Cousins, still Kirk Cousins. And the Vikes win it 34-26. Did not, like, having had money on this game here, Gaz, I never felt fucking confident in it whatsoever. The problem was, of course, I picked the Cardinals on this show here last Tuesday night, which was not where I put my money or my code bet pick on Thursday. Yep. And these are the things I've then got to tell you so I don't, look like a fucking idiot. Give myself a day or two to think about it more. All I had to do was go, Gaz, I am changing my pick to Minnesota. And I never did, so I'm a fucking moron. But I did have money riding on them. But they're 6-1, and one of my preseason picks was the Vikes to win the NFC North. And I think I can almost, I don't want to jinx that because
fucking
Green Bay. But still, 6-1, feeling pretty good about it. Cards, that was a tough one, but I think they played their Super Bowl last week. Hopkins still had 160 yards in this one too. And
he's fucking nuts.
But I mean, as soon as he's back, like, they're feisty, and that's kind of what you want from a Cardinals team, right?
And it's also weird to me. Look, I'm always one for a lot of forward planning, and in case shit happens, we're going to do why. And I got to be credit to, was it Patrick Peterson with the pick six? And then they, all of the defense gather to take the piss out of Kyler doing the Call of Duty fucking dance in the end zone. That was fucking great.
Against his old team as well, right?
Against his old team.
So good. Nice. Yep. The Saints shut out the Raiders.
What the fuck?
Boy, this game was fucked. I love, like, one of my favorite things looking at all, this slate all this week was like, Raiders, why are they like only 1.5 point, like, either underdogs or maybe even favorites against the Saints, whatever. And the Saints shut them out, 24-0. And they did absolutely nothing to the point where Josh McDaniels getting, like, pulled away by his ear by Mark Davis, the owner.
Yeah.
And Kamara tore him apart. Devonta Adams was targeted like 3 times or some shit. It's like, what is going on there in Las Vegas? You can't trust them week in, week out. It looked like they sort of had turned a corner last week.
Yeah, got right.
But no. Meanwhile, the Saints looking pretty solid again.
Fucking weird.
Didn't we disavow them? We disavowed them last week, didn't we?
Yeah. The preseason pundits were all like, well, with that Saints defense from last year and then Jameis back, like, fuck, we're just going to, like, that offense at Kamara and, like, Michael Thomas is coming back and Michael Thomas has fucking barely touched the field and we're relying on Andy fucking Dalton. Rifle's getting him over the line, right? Like, what is going on? I don't know.
Yeah, I think my tips for the rest of the year about the Saints would be just don't put money on any of their games because you just don't know. What, like,
but, Carr, is this, I'm sure we'll touch on it later in the season, but this has got to be Carr's last season, right? Like, they've gone, all right, we're going to invest in weapons, or do we blame the coach again?
Having watched Josh McDaniels for years, Kaz, you know what my answer is going to be? He's a shit.
Yeah,
show.
I know, but come on, how many excuses have we got for Derek Carr? With Josh Jacobs playing out of his fucking skin and one of the best 2-3 receivers in the game, I mean, fucking get the cunt the ball.
It's not rocket surgery.
I know, right?
Two really quick ones. Titans beat the Texans 17-10. The Titans are our team.
Yes.
Sure. And
no, Tannehill. Malik Willis comes out.
Looked like, it's like if you'd put, basically, when you turn like a receiver into your quarterback because you've got like no dudes left, it's like they're just like, fuck it. Malik, sure. And he's like, oh, God, I don't know if I'm ready for this. And then Derek Henry was like, just give me the fucking ball, you idiot. 219 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. They smashed him. The Texans, yeah, the line on this was only like 2.5. And it did sort of feel like, like the Titans aren't putting him away. They don't have like their main, they don't have their quarterback. They don't have, was it like Simmons or whatever is out for the Titans, I think, as well. And it's just like, oh, this is tough. But they win anyway. The Commanders, big come-from-behind win there against the Colts, 17-16, in hilarious fashion. The Heineken, he's awesome. Jonathan Taylor does not look right. The Colts just suck, but Heineken just, I fucking love him. This is one of my favorite picks all week. And it felt like one of the squirrely lines, right? Where it's like, I think the Commanders were like 3.5 point underdogs or 3 point underdogs or something. And they're like, but the Colts are shit. Like, they're shit. Like, what are we doing here? The Commanders might suck, but they're not shit. You know, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
And Heineken just gives them something a little bit
just
different.
A bit of
I love
chutzpah.
It.
And Terry, like, fucking scary Terry, like, he did it last year. Heineken just fucking loves him. Just bombs. And then, obviously, McLaurin, like, that, you know, last second, falls over the line into the end zone. Heartbreaking. For the Colts.
And they get there because it's like what the Heineken sneak run, basically at the end where they just get the touchdown. It's like, fuck yeah, we're going to win this. And they did.
And also,
it was 7-16 in the fourth quarter. Like, and they win. So,
and out of nowhere, the fucking Commanders have strung three together in a 4-4.
I kind of love it.
Fucking gross, isn't it?
It's gross, but it's funny. It's gross. And then, of course, your team. I think this is still, was that the last of the early games? Yeah. Eagles smash the Steelers 35-13. Who really cares?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think the big thing for me was coming off a bye, how we're going to show up. And it was like the Steelers blitz all the time. So we're like, oh, that's fine. We're going to have Sanders rush for 10 yards in the first half. And we're just going to throw fucking bombs to AJ Brown. Hurts threw 4 TDs all over 25 yards. Not bad.
Not bad.
Anyway. Yeah, we can move on quickly from that one. Yeah. I don't need to rant about that one this week.
I mean, what, Pickett, whatever. Just the Steelers, they're just shit. Let's just
second half, mate. There was no turnovers. We sacked him six times. There had been no turnovers all game, and then fourth quarter, like fumble, and then a pick to CJGJ, who I always have a fucking Gardner Johnson, who I always have a tough time mentioning. But yeah, I look, those wide receivers for the Steelers are good, but he's still a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, the only touchdown in this game that the Steelers got though was thrown by Claypool, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, yeah, it was
at the start to like fucking Derek Watt, which is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Najee just didn't look great. Yeah. Like there was, he was indecisive, and then the Eagles swooped on him. He just had fucking nothing. So
my favorite thing is I want to bury the Steelers so bad. They're 2-6. It's like, oh, the run of Mike Tomlin hitting 500 is over. It's like, oh, we're still not. Not until they've got 9 losses and one going to say a fucking word. Anyway, what else we got? We've got Niners Rams. This game was hilarious. So my buddy Drabs was at this one, dressed up in his favorite color, red. He's a Man City fan. I was not impressed. I'm like, this has got to be like the first time you've worn red in your life. He's like, me? I'll fucking tell you. Anyway, he's there with mates of his, like, going off chops. Rams looked pretty good early, and then just, again, talk about second half shutouts. Zeros in the second half. Mm-hmm. And the Niners, just fucking chaos. 31-14 in the end. The Rams just never looked like they had a chance. Like, especially when Cooper Kupp went out, right? Like, it was just like, oh, yeah. This team is way too thin. This is the price you pay to win last year's Super Bowl. Like, the fucking fan, it was like 80% Niners fans there, apparently, according to Drabs. And it's like, yep, shit. Rams are in trouble. They're 3-4.
Yeah.
And there's two other teams in that division that look substantially better than them.
Yep.
And like, you can almost say that the Cardinals might have a little bit more fucking fight in them too. So anyway, good job by the Niners. The McCaffrey game, obviously, the triple threat game is fucking awesome. But also Garoppolo just plays to his strengths, right?
Yep.
Get McCaffrey in there.
Well, now they've
got
so many weapons that you're not expecting Jimmy G to get into a shootout. And that's exactly what they don't want. Put it in his arm and have him trying to lob bombs because it's just not going to get you anywhere. But when you've got... And Debo was out for this too, right? So Swiss Army knives in that offense is just going to, put it in Kyle Shanahan's design book.
So another crazy one was the 27-13 Seahawks-Giants game in Seattle. Took Seattle in this because I'm like, look, as fun and as stupid as some of these Giants games have been, Seattle at home, like that, it's like they're the same team, right? Like all their games have been stupid in some fucking way. Like it's just what they've done all season, both these teams. It's like, Seattle at home, they should just do it, right? And they did. They looked really, really, really good. Like they kind of just, like the defense was really solid, and I found myself just watching way more of this game than I ever expected to, because kind of love Geno Smith, Gaz.
Oh, Geno!
I've turned the corner. I'm riding back to him. I'm sorry, Geno. I'm sorry for laughing at you after week three when you dropped another two games after that first one.
And the year before.
But it's just like I think it's like a weird mix, right? Because it's his ability, but also the fact that he's not Russell Wilson might have like fired a bit of like life into this team of just going, we like this guy. He's not a giant fucking dork. We want to play with this dude. This is really cool. Like Lockett and Metcalf both had touchdowns. They both look really good as well. Like the numbers, I don't think really blow you away, but like between those guys, Kenny Walker, like there's just sort of avenues that the Seahawks have that I kind of like a lot.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll seems to like it, like interacting with him, like getting passionate for an old bloke who's going to throw a hip on the sideline by the look of it. Obviously the key to this game was I think they kept the Giants to like 78 rushing yards total.
Between Saquon and Danny Dimes. Danny Dimes. Yeah. You're just like, that's exactly what you need to do to
and
stop
that's
them.
That's all
right?
They've been doing. Shortening the game. Even when they're playing from behind, every game has been under one touchdown. So just, you know, run, keep it dirty, shorten the game, and it didn't work.
Yep.
So... yeah.
Love it. That was fun. It was a really fun, weird game. Speaking of fun, watching Aaron Rodgers just run, you know, just have the life just sucked out of him. 27-17, the Bills look, this wasn't the shit pumping you kind of expected. It felt like the Bills kind of caught off the dog just a little bit in that second half.
Yeah.
Especially the fourth quarter. I mean, they're already up. What was it? Like 24, like fucking 7 for most of this game, 24-10. But as predicted, backdoor cover by the Packers. The second half winner of the pack of this one was always going to be the Packers because I knew the Bills were going to come out, smash them, and then just sort of chill out a little bit. That's what happened. I think Gaz may have had the Bills at 10.5 points. That final score, 27-17. I love it. I loved it. This was all because Aaron Jones was
wondering
is like
what
running
the fucking
everywhere.
One that I got you differently.
Yeah. Fuck. That was half a good one. Point. So Josh Allen looked really good, just doing crazy shit. The throws to Diggs that he had were just fucking amazing. Just some bombs in there, but the accuracy of him in and under as well, like is the thing that sort of just I go, oh shit. Just like next level to some of the other dudes you see play now. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I love Josh Allen. This is awesome.
Yeah.
But they're 6-1. Packers are up to 3-5. And yeah, it's a big way back. Like the problem for me, like the Packers defense just doesn't look like it's going to slow anybody down. And like the Bills were just kind of like, yeah, cool. We'll play three quarters and then just chill the fuck out. And that's exactly what happened. And then today's game, Bengals, Browns. Browns smashed them 32-13, ran right over the top of them. Nick Chubb in there for a couple of TDs. Kareem Hunt causing havoc. Amari Cooper looked really good, Gaz.
He did.
Catching everything. Like, Jacoby Brissett had his, like, best game all season, obviously. Like, what, 270-odd yards. And it's like, it's a season high for Jacoby. And you're like, Jesus Christ, that's not much for a season
high. I think
high.
we can both admit, though, that this the first quarter in general was fucking gross.
Yeah.
It's turnovers and low scores, no scores, touched. What, field goal, fucking just
all the
misses.
Way through the first half, it felt like they were just basically trading turnovers. Like, it was just fucking weird. But
and
anyway.
Like, the Bengals were marching down that field, right, just before the third. The most exciting thing for me in this game was the end of the third quarter where I'm like, wait, they're within field goal range. Can they just not score for the next 30 seconds so that we can have a zero at three-quarter time for the fucking reigning NFC? Like, that was the most exciting thing. And yeah, it was just, even that 13 points at the end makes it seem, it doesn't even seem close, but it makes it seem closer than it actually was. Yeah.
It was like the Higgins touchdown at the end was a beautiful throw by Joey B, smoking Joey B, an incredible catch by Higgins because it was kind of just...
Yeah, it was. And then
he kind of just basically reached over the top of the defender, right? And just went, eh, that's mine. Get out of here. And just sort of then fell into the end zone. But it was a lot of window dressing because they just got ran over the top of. And I'm a bit worried about my Bengals because I was pretty confident on this one about them, you know, over 27 points. I think they'd scored 27 or more like in four or five games or whatever. Looking good. The Browns defense wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire either. And then I should have known better. Don't bet against Myles Garrett on fucking Halloween where he does his bullshit Sack Reaper thing, which is I'm pretty sure was like the nickname of one of your girlfriends in high school, wasn't it? Sack Reaper. Yep. but anyway,
that was
don't bet against Myles Garrett when he's like got all the publicity he's going to get all season in one night, yeah. Right? Just don't do it. So.
Well, there's also, you should have fucking known, you should change your bet after the first quarter when they crossed over to a video of, oh, look, you know, Joey B starting to get right because he was sick, like in the off season and had surgery. What was his appendix or something?
Yep.
He had to get, you know, get healthy and then come back. And so he missed time getting in with this rebuild offensive line, but it's all finally come together, Jimmy. It's all fine. Like they've been shooting the lights out and then they just got fucking destroyed.
They did.
And Mixon couldn't move.
Couldn't do a good
in that like, first half. There was nothing.
That was all that offensive line, right? Like Joey B was just under duress the entire time. Joe Mixon couldn't do shit. And so, we didn't actually mention this at the top, but after last week's game, Jamar Chase is like ruled out for 4 to 6 weeks with a hip.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit. But my point was like, cool. Still got T. Higgins, still got Tyler Boyd, still got Hayden Hurst. It's got weapons. And again, it seems like you take one thing away from the Cincinnati offense and it just falls apart. We saw that earlier in the season when Boyd was hurt, Higgins was hurt, and they just look really scrappy. It's just like they need to apparently, it's like a high performance like Fiat or something. It's like if you've got one thing wrong, it's going to cost a fucking arm and a leg to get it fixed. And it's going to take ages. You have to go to a specialist dealer or some shit to get it all done. And it just, your car's fucked. So.
And there aren't many in Ohio, apparently.
Exactly. So, and it's like, as soon as you have that, like, half of one Mississippi of Joey B going, oh, shit, god damn it, the pocket's collapsed again, fuck. And, like, it's just over. So,
yep.
A bit worried about that now for the next
four
or five
weeks. It was a really
weeks.
Weird play, like, I don't know why I'm specifying this play, but you know when you see that, like, seasoned quarterbacks who always seem to have time. Aaron Rodgers used to be really good at this, and Drew Brees was. The moment they see a flag thrown, they're going, you know, cool. What? It's one of two things. It's either going to be a free play or it's on us, so it doesn't fucking matter anyway.
Yep.
And next minute, they're finding who... That happened. The flag was thrown in front of Joey B. He busts out to the side and then scrambles, puts himself at risk and scrambles for a first down for like 5 yards. So at best case scenario, that was the 5 yard penalty you were going to get anyway.
Exactly.
You might as well have, you were trailing, hoik it down the field and see what the fuck happens.
Have a shot.
Yeah, crazy. Ghosts, mate. Seeing ghosts.
Right, let's fly through some yeah-nahs, Gaz. Yeah-nah. Let's do it. Hang on. Seattle Seahawks, are they going to make the playoffs, Gaz? Come on. Surely not. This is one of my preseason, just like, nap their trash teams. They're on top of the NFC West. They're 5-3. The reigning Super Bowl champs are 3-4. The Niners are 4-4. It's absolute chaos. Do they make it? Yeah, nah.
What are they? I'm just trying to look it up now. What are they in the division? So they still got to play.
In division, they're 1-1. So
okay,
yeah. I think they beat the. Obviously, they've beaten the Cards and lost to the Niners. So
right. So just kind of, I don't know. There's still that vibe where there's too many weapons on the Rams for them to suck forever. I've still got that vibe. But that said, I've had that for Tampa Bay all year, and that just seems to be going nowhere. But the Rams, you just feel that there has to be a get-right game around the corner. We know what they play like against the Niners, and the Niners just seem like, if they stay healthy, they are going to take that division.
Yeah.
But I think we're now, well, we're almost at the midpoint of the season. We're at that point where we're going to start to negotiate the wild cards, and... No one in the North looks like they're going to take a wild card. No one in the South. It's literally going to come down. The Cowboys and Eagles will fight it out to the death for that division. And it's literally the last spot. Seems like it's going to come down to, what, Giants, Niners?
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Niners, Rams?
It's like Giants, Niners, Rams, Bucks, maybe, if they sort of get their ass in a gear. But you don't trust that, right? Like, so... I feel like the Niners will win the
division.
There's probably
four teams out of the four teams. If you assume that one of the Eagles or Cowboys is going to take the first wild card spot, you've got, Niners, Rams, or, you know, one to two teams out of the West.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. I love it. Good on it. Go fucking hammer and dog's voice. Unpacking the Rams a little bit there. They've got to play. So they play the Bucs this week, obviously. It's a big ticket game. Then they have Cardinals. And you're like, I don't trust them to beat the Cardinals at the moment. They've got the Saints. We've just talked about how screwy every single one of their games are, and it's in New Orleans. They got the Chiefs. Then they play the Seahawks, and that might be basically like a death knell for the Rams season if McVay up against Pete Carroll. Like, if it just sort of comes down to that, like, it could be all over. They've got a Raiders game. Then they've got a Packers game. They've got a Broncos, Chargers, Seahawks again. Seahawks at the end. It might come down to the last week, Gaz. I love it. I absolutely love it.
If you look at the rest of the East, it's I think there's a couple of Packers games, and I think we play the Titans. But a lot of the rest of the schedule for the Cowboys, Eagles, and Giants is each other and some really weak opponents. So it's who's going to fall off a cliff, and the Commanders are just going to be in a spot. If Heineken start, like, does Wentz, they've spent too much money on him. Once they've got over that 30% hump where he's going to play less than 70% of snaps, so they'll only get a, you know, what is it, third round pick for him? They'll come on, but they're just going to play spoiler at the end of the season, right? All of those division games at the end that are just going to make these really close races fucking spicy.
Love it. Was that Raiders lost the worst of the season? Yeah, nah.
For them or for any team?
I think for any team. Like, it's because that might be. Like, that was my thinking here. I'm like, that might be just like it for their season, right? Like, just going, okay, you just got shut out in New Orleans. You're in the AFC West. You're now 2-5. Like, you're out of the division. And at 2-5, like, you got a lot of catching up to do, like, between, like, you think about the AFC West where, like, the Pats are, like, the bottom and they're 4-4 at least, right? And so there's four teams that you're going to have to like jump over at some point, and I just can't see them doing it. So,
but
it's
even
like
on top of that,
pack her up.
There's been a bit of, you know, there's been some absolute fucking hidings that have been given. Like if you look at the Eagles Steelers, you just go, oh, that fucking checks out.
Yep.
Right? There's a team at the top, team at the bottom in a rebuild. That checks out. This one, though, the Saints are hardly setting the world on fire. We don't know what we're going to see either week. But we kind of thought, oh, well, maybe that was the get right game kind of thing. Last couple of weeks have been slowly turning around for the Raiders after a slow start. All right, the West is going to be, you know, it's going to come together. And that is just, that's the sort of shit that sets you back 3 or 4 weeks, if not ending your season, right? Because they've got to be, mentally, they've just got to be fucking cooked. And as you mentioned, Josh McDaniel getting taken to the principal's office after the game to have a stern fucking talking to. Could he be one and done again? Come on, surely if they don't make the playoffs. With that superstar quarterback, with fucking Josh Jacobs, with the spending, convincing him to spend the money on Davante Adams. Like, come on, mate. I know it's maybe we're talking one and done.
Nah, it still not great. one of the other worst losses was obviously the right at the start of the season, Titans getting absolutely shellacked by the Bills. But
well,
the Titans have like then turned around and gone, oh, guess what? We're 5-2, and it doesn't really matter because we're in the AFC South, so fuck off. I mean, are they the worst 5-2 team that we've seen? Yeah, nah.
Yeah. Yes. There's a 6-2 team that I reckon is going to have to fall off a cliff at some point, being the Giants. But right now, I think the 5-2, outside Deza Henry, what have they fucking got?
Nothing.
Right? I think I mentioned to you.
Traylon Burks wasn't even playing this week either, right? Like they're a replacement for AJ Brown. So
yeah. And I said, so the graphic came up on one of the NFL websites this week that AJ Brown has at 650 something yards. Has more yards by himself than the rest of the wide receiver core of the Titans this year.
Checks out.
Right? So maybe Tannehill wasn't, oh, we've turned him around from taking him from Dolphins, and it was actually just had some pretty good receivers
maybe
out there.
So they've got a -6 point differential when they're 5-2. Like that is absolutely crazy. Like
that's fucking mind
if you have a -6 point differential and you're 5-2, how bad have your wins been and how bad were the losses? The flip side, I think the Giants, what did you say, 6-2? And they've got only a +6 point differential.
Yeah,
tricky.
Yeah.
We kind of hit on this last week. Do you think both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, like, what am I doing? I made a horrible mistake. Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I mean, if we take them one at a time, I mean, the stories, and we are, I'll preface this by saying we are definitely not taking joy out of the pain of anyone else's life, but they actually came out and officially announced their divorce this week. But the stories of like Tom after losing the game sitting in front of his locker just staring at the ground talking to backup quarterbacks. Is it the first time in his career that he's been 3-5 or something?
Probably
something fucking weird. Yeah, that was like the first time in his career at that point. I mean, that's, don't get me wrong, that's a very fucking storied career if you have only ever been there once. But anything from this point on, as we mentioned yesterday, can actually hurt the legacy. Mm. You're just like, oh, do we want it? Same with Aaron Rodgers, where literally the mentality of the Packers was clearly, oh, well, last year the defense was solid, and it was like, well, the defense is going to be the strength of this team. It doesn't matter if we get rid of Adams, because we can surround Aaron Rodgers. Adam Lassard, he's talking like he's a fucking Hall of Fame wide receiver, and we've given him Cobby back, so all he needs is Aaron Jones and Rodgers to be Rodgers with that defense, and we'll be fine. Well, clearly, Rodgers isn't fucking Rodgers. So it would be interesting. We've got, what, less than 24 hours now and a few wide receivers potentially on the trading block. Do they go, wow, we got to save his career, otherwise Aaron's or either fucking retiring and we're on to Jordan Love, or he's going to go, I want out?
The thing is, like, Green Bay never do, like, in-season trades. Like, they're also, like, the team that never, like, signs free agents, right? Like, it's all in-house shit, so
yeah,
it's pretty weird. And Like, yeah, Alan Lazard was out this week, but at the same time, like, there's no excuse. It's just brutal. No. Anyway, moving on. Good bloke of the week. Easy one for me, McCaffrey. I just enjoyed that. He looks so fucking happy, and you kind of felt just joy for that dude just going, oh, look at him. He's out of, like, the weird purgatory of Carolina where he's just – and just think about that as well. Like, the amount of times you've been hurt playing for that team and just like, yeah, oh, man, I love the fans. I love the locker room. But you've barely been on the field, really.
Yeah.
And then you go somewhere, you got like a crazy, innovative, awesome coach who fucking very clearly just loves the idea of you. Like, he's got to be pretty stoked. But to have the triple threat, that was sick. I loved it. The throw was so good. Just laid it out in front of him. On he goes, bang. The catch that he had was sick as well, as mentioned. But I enjoyed that. So good on you, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I'm like, there's something that got me this week. That's all the dudes showing up in the fucking ridiculous Halloween costumes. And I'd have a beer with them, some of these dudes who've got a fucking sense of humor. Because you see these fucking dudes, it's all about the drip, right? It's all about that, how ridiculous can my suit be? How can I be Cam Newton and stand out like fucking dog's balls?
Look at my crazy hat.
I know, right? Like, all of that sort of stuff. It's like, we need to be polished, all that sort of stuff. Fucking Travis Kelce rocked up. Center for the Eagles rocked up a couple of weeks ago in like shitty jeans, a t-shirt that showed his man boobs and flip-flops, and they asked him about it and he went, I'm here to play football, not to win a fashion contest. So this week Lane Johnson got for Halloween showed up dressed like Jason Kelce in the same fucking green t-shirt and flip-flops and a fucking wig. It was hilarious. Guys on the sidelines wearing fucking Batman masks. Miles Garrett turning up. So last year was the Sack Reaper. This year was fucking Stranger Things.
Vecna, yeah. Right? Yeah.
And yeah. And there's all of these dudes showing up with like a fucking sense. We're like completely impractical, right? Like rocking up that, like, it's literally from the walk to the car to the stadium to get a photo, and then I'm like, all right, this shit's sweaty, I gotta fucking get ready to play football. But I like it. I don't know, it's 1 week a year, I kind of enjoy it.
I'll pay it. Yeah, it's good. Like, yeah. I think football lends itself to that as well, because it's like the one time a year, like, everyone's basically playing on the same day. You know, that sort of stuff, and away we go.
And the commentators get into it as well. Like, some of the morning
are into it. Like, the crowd shots are fucking great. Like, even the squid's watching with me yesterday and today, and he's like, Dad, they're dressed as hot dogs. He's like, yep.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, they are.
Pretty funny. It's just like people in the crowd dressed as hot dogs, pal. That's also the squid who rolled into a daycare on Monday in like a skeleton with wings costume and was fucking delighted by it. Scared the shit out of me once when I walked in the hallway and just sort of turned around. It's like, what the fuck is that? Anyway. No mates. Who's got no mates today? Russell Wilson. He got the win, and that's all that matters really in the end of all this shit, because had he have pulled the dumb fuckery that he pulled, Gaz, and they lose that game, that would have been a tough sell. That's just some old mate, no mates vibes. But like, seriously, throwing in teammates, oh, well, you know, I was working really hard. You know, everyone else is asleep, but I was working hard. It's like, shut up, you fucking dork. We get it. You did your job. Guess what? Not everyone else is a fucking loser who's doing fucking knee-ups in the aisles on the plane over to London. They're trying to get some fucking sleep so they can perform at maximum potential. Whereas you're out here.
And they don't particularly like you.
Everyone thinks you're a fucking nerd. Jesus. Anyway, and obviously DJ Moore, we mentioned that. Like, the amazing catch, then the penalty, taking off the helmet. You completely fucked them, guys, because they end up losing. They missed the extra point because they push him.
Yep.
He gets pushed back. And I mean, I also don't understand how he was penalized so badly. Like, they were really quick to throw that flag as well. It's like, he's celebrating. He's taking the helmet off. Like, how often does that happen throughout the season?
Yeah, you're not allowed to. So that, I mean, you're not allowed to take your helmet off. Unless it's an injury, you're not allowed to take your helmet off in the field of play. And that is because it fucking Miles Garrett, Rudolph fucking style. It's been used as a fucking weapon, right? So I do get it. And it's not something, like, someone made a post about ridiculous rules in the NFL being taunting, excessive celebration and removing your helmet. Well, two of them, as much as you can say that they're ridiculous rules, Two of them, there's no fucking question, right? It's not like you can accidentally take your helmet off.
Yeah.
It's not like you don't know how far is too far. You can't do the McKringleberry. You can't do the third pump. We know it's been publicized. You can do the one or two, you know, pumps. But the third one will get you a penalty, right? The taunting one is fucking ridiculous because we've had people point to the sidelines and get called and all that sort of stuff.
Didn't
so
we,
I get why that was
we have
done.
AJ Brown this week actually give it the old one and two.
Yeah, and two. That was yeah. Awesome. That was double fun. Coverage, that was got you over the top.
Like, that shit was hilarious. Why are you penalizing him for that? That was sick.
Yeah, got penalized. I get it. Like, he fucking knew exactly what he was talking about. So, yeah, I get it. But that leads on to my old mate, no mates, and that's Eddie Pinheiro, the fucking kicker. At the receiving end of that from the Panthers. So, yes, he gets pushed back. But that made the extra point 48 yards. And he's a professional kicker, Jimmy. Right? So, all right, we give him credit. It's 48 yards. Some players will miss that. That's fine. Then in overtime, follow-up kick to win the game, 32 yards. Which, I don't know, for those counting at home, Jimmy, is almost the same distance that the original extra point would have been. And he missed them fucking both. And then, as you mentioned, Koo comes down and knocks it through the post. So, did he get paid to go, you know what, we don't want to win this shitty division. We're not going
right.
to make a
wide
dent.
Right. Wide right, right.
We're not going to make a dent in these fucking playoffs. We need to get a quarterback who's not fucking Baker Mayfield or Darnold. So, fucking help us out, brother.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, that's one for me. The other one is Kay Walter. For the Packers, Walker. Packers.
It's pronounced, I think.
That's it. Who got ejected for pushing a Bills coach on the sideline, which was fucking weird because, yes, they all went out of bounds, but he may have said something, but it was hardly like the coach got in his face and you're always going to... Guess what, mate? You're in pads and a helmet. You push a coach on a sideline who's defenseless, you're probably going to get kicked out.
That was awesome. They sent that upstairs as well, didn't they? Like, oh,
yep.
Like they were like, oh, yeah, cool, we're back into it. So, oh, wait, no, stop it. New York have to have a word here.
Kick him
the fuck out. He pushed a
kick
coach.
Kick him the fuck out. You can't do that. And the last one for me, Elijah Moore, in terms of people trying to push for that deadline trade, because there's no mates in New York. He's already wanted a trade. And then in this week's press conference post-game was asked, what's your on-field chemistry like with Zach Wilson? And his response was, I don't know. I never get the ball. How's that signaling to the team?
Yeah. Zach Wilson might have that dog
Let
in
me
him,
the fuck out.
Doesn't have his receiver's room on
no.
board.
Like, let me the fuck out, Jimmy.
Elijah Moore, keep your mum's best mates away from Zach Wilson as well. Unpopular opinion of the day. I still believe in Cincy a little bit, Gaz. Look, they look so bad today. I feel like the only way is up. But I am worried, like, Jenga Tower vibes. If you take one piece away from that offense, though, like, it all could just really fall apart. But I'm, like, I don't want to just sort of give up because they look so solid, at least, the last couple of weeks where they were sort of just pointing in the right direction finally. Anyway.
But isn't there something, some weird stat I'm fucking wanted to look it up because I may, before I overspeak. But it's like Joe Burrow has never beaten the Browns.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's, so now that'd be 0-4.
Wow. I wish I had known that before I tipped them so heavily. And also known the fact that, what was it? They
mentioned by Drew Taylor in passing.
They've lost 12 straight road primetime games, I think, which is just brutal. Anyway, that's like Andy Dalton-esque vibes. Have we got anybody for the strange spotty there, guys?
Nah, to be honest, I followed. Sipos was fine.
Yeah, see, I saw Sipos. Like,
great.
He did get a nice shout-out as well in that game, didn't he? He's like, from Melbourne, Australia, Aaron Sipos. Yeah. Bang! Off he goes.
Yeah, he got in. He got fucking up. There was a punt going sailing to bounce into the end zone, and Zach McPherson dived and flicked it back. Saved that. Mailata didn't have his strongest game, but there was a couple of little highlights. Pancake highlights. But then I think there weren't too many kicks for the Wish. There's some put up some points for the Niners. Did you happen to see how Big Dixon Energy went?
I didn't actually.
Not that I meant. I didn't.
That was weird.
Notice.
I don't know how many times they punted there, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, right? Yeah. I think it was the Aussie punters didn't really have much, like their teams were pretty, pretty handsomely, right?
So good. That leads us into our back take house. It's Tuesday, Gaz, at our back. You know what that means? That's right. Ran over in a fucking Wombat just the other day. Guess what? Wombat pancakes only at our back. This fucking pancake's a bit gamey, I'll tell you that much. Either way, it goes great with the flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is, outside of the Panthers paying their kicker to fucking completely throw games, Aaron Rodgers has only got himself to blame, Gaz. Only. And back, I'm 100% just on board with this as well. So this was just wanting me to launch into Aaron Rodgers for a second. Go, yeah, cool. I think if there's one lesson we've learned from Tom Brady's longevity and staying as good as he has for so long, but also having his team be that good for so long, was going,
yeah,
I understand that I'm not getting paid the absolute top dollars. I've got like a fucking kajillionaire wife anyway. We're all good. I understand that. But by the same token, sometimes you just got to go, maybe I don't need to get paid the absolute fucking most in the NFL to prove that I've got a bigger dick than all of you motherfuckers. Maybe if you want to add to your legacy and have more than the single fucking one Super Bowl to your name. Oh man, I've won 4 MVPs. Yeah, no one gives a fuck if you've only won one Super Bowl. Just saying. Maybe if you want to keep Devontae Adams around, cool. Put your money where your mouth is, Aaron. And yeah, to be honest, you hate to see it happen. You just hate to see it happen to somebody as cool and as lovely and as, you know, egregiously nice as Aaron Rodgers. So,
yeah, just look, that just follows suit with everything that you hear now. And it's obviously changed the complete mentality. Look at what Harry, I'm just renaming people now. Howie Roseman's done this year. Look at what the Rams have done in terms of going out and like, fuck your draft picks. Going out and getting win now players because you need to take care of rookie contracts.
Yep.
Right? It's all like, get shit done now because Jalen Hurts is going to sign a $40 million a year contract. Right? And it's all about that year three. Look at Josh Allen exploded into year three. All that sort of stuff. And I'm not comparing saying Jalen Hurts is going to be the next Josh Allen, but I'm just saying that this like kind of go get weapons. That's when they went and got Stephon Diggs.
It's cost benefit analysis, isn't it? Right. That's all it
exactly.
is. It's cost benefit
exactly.
analysis where if you're costing $50 million a year, suddenly you've probably got what? $40 million less to spend across other things where like Tom Brady spent years basically going, oh yeah, just give us 10 mil and I'll keep it fucking rolling, bro. And off you go. That means you can pay like, you know, top line defenders to bring as a free agent or whatever, just here and there, and just sort of add bits and pieces around you, and away you go. Like the weird thing was for Brady, they never really upgraded his, you know, offensive weapons really that much, which is kind of ironic. And I think obviously that's what led to him just going, right, this has been fucking 10 years of this shit, you idiots. I'm fucking out of here. But at the same time, Rodgers, this is it. One fucking Super Bowl, man. Like for all the fucking talent in the world, maybe just maybe there's a blueprint there.
Yep.
Pay attention to it. Captain Fantasy, I got a nice win this week. Feeling good at the moment, Gaz. What am I, like 5-3 in the NFL Australia Legends League, I think, which is pretty nice. Had a few scrappy wins here and there. So
I nearly sent you a message this week because I think you played...
Nowhere to go but up. Who is
that? Yeah, who was on top before this week. And I was like, I saw you winning.
Oh, Zach, yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I saw you winning and I was like... I nearly sent you a message of encouragement and they were like, nah, he'll take that badly. And so I didn't. And now that you knocked Zachy Boy off, I think I'm waiting for the scores to update because we've done this so early, but I think I'm on top.
I think you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're 6-2. You're 6-2. Points for 886. Zach has been dominating. He's got the most points in the league. And both of you are at 762 for points against. So
not bloody bad. Not bloody bad.
I had to survive this week because Eckler was on a bye and Debo was out. But it was good. I took down Todd, aka the juice is still loose, Jimmy.
Well, I'm just this week. To be honest, I couldn't believe I won this. Like I said, Devontae Adams. obviously, as mentioned, like fucking nothing. Three receiving yards, one catch. That was it. So I got 0.7 there. And but Nick Folk, I'm just saying, that Patriots attack.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same field goals, man. Nothing but field goals. That won me this game. It was 21-7 in the kickers. So
I've got Carlson, the only reliable, well, outside Josh Jacobs, the only reliable Raider. Carlson obviously put up 0 points this week. He's been averaging 10 to 12 points as a fucking field goal kicker. And funnily enough, you don't put any points up. Your kicker gets nothing.
That's it. Anyway. What else? Let's do some previews for next week. Week 9.
All right. Jeez,
here we go. Philly, your boys play at Houston. Friday morning, Thursday night football. 13.5-point favorites too.
Good chance to mention this that I mentioned to you just before the game, Jimmy. As part of the whole marketing branding thing that the NFL's doing with countries globally, the Philadelphia Eagles got Australia, as did the Rams, and there's a couple of official watching parties. One is at, I told you this before, and now I've completely forgotten them, Sporting Globe in Robina. Yeah, Robina on the Gold Coast. And Richmond down in Melbourne, and there's one in Auckland as well. And I believe the Rams game is being shown somewhere in Sydney. So yeah, I might, if I can get out of time, get out of work early, I might go down and watch with some Eagles players. Nah, they're busy, mate. They got something to do. fans in Richmond and drink before midday on a Friday. Why the fuck not?
How is it any different than any of your other Fridays, though? I'm just like, basically. Yeah.
Well, I won't be in front of my laptop. That's all I'm saying. That's the only difference.
You'll be around other
people
for
once. And
I will
be out of tracksuit pants. I may wear tracksuit pants.
I love it.
Anyway, all right. I'm tipping 13.5 points, but I'm tipping Philly in this one because, you know what? The Houston defense has been scrappy enough to keep shit close, but I don't know. The RPO from the Eagles, people are just struggling to adjust to whether it's going to be a run or a play, or Jalen Hurts is going to take it himself. So, run or a play? A run is a play, Jimmy. Just a little bit of info for you. No, a pass or a run or a keeper. So, I don't think Houston are good enough to keep up with that. Although, 13.5 points scares the fuck out of me.
I think this is... I would have like more qualms about some of the other better teams, but I think basically if it's Philly, KC, or Buffalo against some of the bad teams at the moment, I don't think you can make that line high enough for me at the moment, so I'm going Philly as well. Okay. Pats, host Indy, my beloved Patriots. 5.5, squirrely line. It's like, India shit. That's what we said about the Bears. Then the Bears came and fucking beat us. So I've gone with the Pats, but it does, like, it would not surprise me in the fucking least. Indy just showed up. Absolute ball out, and the Pats are like sneak a 1 or 3 point win here, and we are both. You've taken the Pats as well, but it's just like
that's
fuck.
This is, as I mentioned before we started recording, there's a couple of games I fucking hated, and this was one of them. Just how up and down Indy's been. Let's just give the ball to Taylor fucking 35 times this game and really shorten it. And fucking Mac Jones has just been not fucking great. So this could be really close, really fucking ugly. Your defense might stifle them. They might keep you in check, and it might be fucking 15-12 to the Pats.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. It's one of those ones you're like, yeah, we're going to rely on our run game and our defense. And it's like, yeah, Indy do basically exactly the same. So it's just fucking worrisome. Anyway, what else we got? We have Buffalo, Jets, the Battle of New York. One of them at least. 12.5 points, Buffalo, from what I saw today. The Jets, or yesterday rather, look, there's a bit of fight in them, but 12.5, Buffalo are just that fucking good at the moment. I think they win this easily. The 12.5 they cover.
With the Buffalo defense, I think the fucking side bet to this is, does Zach Wilson last all four quarters?
Tricky part is the Buffalo defense. Like, the secondary is just sort of that little bit banged up, and like, it might be the Zach Wilson sort of get right game and just sort of keeps them in it. But 12.5, it still feels like this is like a 20, like that 13 point line is like the key one, right? It's 13 and 14. Yeah. But 13, it's just there. Look. We won 37-24. Like, that sort of vibe. It's like Zach Wilson still threw for three touchdowns. but we still fucking shit pumped them. So away we go. We've got Miami, Chicago. We saw a bit from Miami this week. You've actually gone with Miami. I've gone with Chicago +4.5 at home. I think this feels very similar to what we saw last week with Miami, where I took Detroit and they missed covering by 0.5 point. Because I think the Dolphins won by 4 in the end. And I think that line was 3.5 when we picked it. So I'm going to go with Chicago 4.5 this week. Because, I don't know. I just think Miami's defense is pretty bad. Well, it's not bad. It's just also not that great. Whereas Chicago have just played 2 weeks against pretty good defenses and given a good account of themselves. So give me the +4.5 Chicago. I do worry that Miami just blow them out, though. So
yeah, look, they've offensive lines, and I've done a lot of deep diving into this because we just fucking got him. But Robert Quinn has been demanding double teams the whole fucking year, and he's gone. And Roquan Smith is now fucking gone.
Yeah.
And you've got two pretty good wide receivers on the fucking outside. So I feel like Miami could, now with that couple of weeks of Tua being healthy, Miami could turn this, get a lead early and turn this into a shootout. And I don't see Jazzy Fields being able to do that. They need to keep it close, like they started to with the Cowboys, and keep it on the ground. And if Miami gets an early lead, I think putting it in Jazzy Fields' arm is not the greatest plan.
Yeah, I'm just going to lean on Chicago. Spend a couple of weeks where you're just like, yeah, there's a bit of something there.
Is this going to be one of those ones that you change your mind on in 3 days?
It might be. I might write my column on Thursday and go, what the fuck am I talking
about? What the fuck is I thinking?
Minnesota at Washington. This was screwy as shit as well. I really wanted to take Washington, but this is the Kirk Cousins revenge game, isn't it? It's like, he's got to go in there. It's in Washington. Give me the Vikings -3.5. Again, squirrely. This screams 27-24, but I'll still take Mini because I think they might just pull it out. Their defense is that solid.
Yeah.
And, like, offensively, we know they got the weapons.
I agree.
Nice. Cincy.
No, nothing more to add to that one.
Cincy host Carolina. You've actually gone Carolina +8.5 here.
Yeah. This is another one that I don't particularly like. I feel like Pete, you know, Walker's just adding that little bit of spunk. I think Cincy will win, but I just don't think, and I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying that the defensive front for Carolina is the same as the Browns, but I think they'll just be able to keep it close. I don't feel like there'll be this magic fucking Cincy flipping the scripts next week, still with Chase out. I mean, he's got 4 to 6 weeks, right? So,
I just think it's at home, and I think they'll really sort of figure it out. 8.5, 9 points feels, pretty easy. Atlanta host the Chargers. We've both gone Atlanta. I think this is more neither of us trust the Chargers.
Yeah.
Especially as favorites, especially on the road in Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah. It really came down to, if you're going to give me points on Atlanta in this game, I'll take it.
Especially over three. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Coming off the bye, yet to see how, I mean, Keenan Allen has not been resembling healthy at any point this season.
Is it because he's Keenan Allen, Gaz?
Yeah.
I think so. Thought so.
And then is Mike Williams. You've got Mike Williams banged up as well. So,
is that because he's off the Bible? Let me just check. Is it because he's Mike Williams? Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
got
he's
it.
Definitely
Bang.
Mike Williams. Nailed it. Yep. So yeah, we'll just see what fucking happens there. But the Chargers defense is just, with all that investment, is just fucking a bit gross.
Too many injuries. JC Jackson out for the season. It's just, brutal.
Yeah.
Atlanta all the way. Detroit. Oh my God. Has this got to be the closest they've ever been in a line to Green Bay? So Green Bay go to Detroit. Green Bay are still favored on the road by 2.5 points though. I'm going Detroit. This might be the fucking nail in the coffin. Holy shit. +2.5. Because Dan Campbell, they lose this game. Yes, it's Green Bay. It's an NFC North rival, though, but this would put Detroit at, like, 1-7 if they lose this? And Dan Campbell might be on your bike.
Next. Yeah.
So I think this is a kitchen sink.
I just somehow have this mental roadblock of believing that Green Bay are that fucking bad. Even though the eye test says, yes, they fucking are. The results say they fucking are. I'm just not there yet, Jimmy. And just Detroit, just find ways to just next level fuck up, right? One of them, my favorite moments, I know this is taking, you know, taking pleasure in other people's pain, but we've all know about my ability to deep dive into subreddits of other teams after they lose. But one of my favorite things at the moment is when they play, they record sad music under Dan Campbell press conferences after a loss. And it's just like all violins and shit. And I know, like, it's, you would think that it was like the world was ending. And to some of these guys, it probably fucking is. But holy shit, man. Considering there was so much up about them before the season, Aiden Hutchinson's just not had any space to do fucking anything. That offense is just, you know, the weapons that they had. Anyway, it's all very disappointing. And I'm going for Green Bay in this one.
Like it. Give me Detroit. Let's go. Jags, they host the Raiders. We're both on the Jags. This is like just what a horrible game to pick this is,
this
right?
Is fucking
like,
gross.
No chance. I just think Jacksonville have to get a win at home here. Like Dougie P, he's got to outsmart Josh McDaniels, right?
This is what literally, I think, without having a fucking clue about how either of these teams, two teams, are going to perform one week after the other, you've given me points at home. Yeah. Right, so I'm just gonna go.
I'm underdog.
Sure.
Let's fucking go. Sure. Similar vibe. Not like Seattle being 1.5 point underdogs on the road in Arizona is where we've also landed. We've both picked Seattle here too because it's like Seattle just seem better than Arizona.
Yeah.
So I'll have the 1.5. Thanks.
They're just like still that little bit too chaotic. Arizona. Yep. They're just kind of nothing you can hold your hat on, but like. Seattle seem a better defense. Seem to be the connection between DK and Geno seems to be nice, you know. So yeah, give me Seattle.
Don't forget Arizona. Like what after that last home win, but they hadn't won at home for like 8 or 9 straight. So
yeah.
Seattle could
it's hardly
easily
a trend.
Win.
Yep. We're not bucking a trend yet.
Anyway, we've got Rams at Tampa Bay. So when they booked this in before the start of the year, I reckon. They might have been a bit more excited.
Burner, mate. Right?
Jesus, Rams going west to east. I've landed just going, Tom Brady's got to sort this one out. Like, the Rams just have too many fucking question marks at the moment. They just got touched up by the Niners. I think you play the Niners, you come out of that going, everything hurts. And now you got to play Tampa Bay, whose defense is still fucking, at times, not ideal. They just got beaten by Carolina, but what, off a... off an extended rest, because they played Baltimore on Thursday. This gives them just enough time to sort of get right. So I've landed with Tampa Bay -3. So have you.
I might be trying to read too much into it, but Tampa Bay at the moment, the way the defense is playing, can't stop the run, which is what was shown against the Ravens, and the fucking Rams can't run. it's fine. You know, it's almost the same mentality that I had with that Green Bay game. I mean, Tompa has to be get right soon, doesn't he?
Surely.
Right? Like,
surely. Just bring back Gronk. Bring back Edelman. Come on. Just bite the bullet. Kansas City. I would not have ever thought that you'd see a team who are one division leader against another division leader and be 12.5 point favorites, guys. 12.5 over the Titans, but that's the Titans. They're shit.
Yeah.
They're shit hiding in plain sight. We know that. It's just that the rest of the AFC South sucks as well. So Kansas City, easy smashing, right? Like this is... That Tennessee defense isn't that great. The offense is horrible. Kansas City should be fine. So 12.5. Boom.
Yeah, agreed.
And then we've got, Baltimore, New Orleans. This is a weird one. How often are these teams... How often can you remember having watched the fucking Saints play the Ravens in your life, Gaz?
Yeah, not many.
That's weird. I love it. We're both going Baltimore -2.5. That's more of an indictment about the Saints and like their just unpredictability. Whereas at least I think you talked about hanging your hat on stuff. Baltimore, I think they've at least got an identity, right? They've lost. They lost Rashad Bateman, right?
Yeah.
For another couple of weeks, I think it was like a calf or something. But I don't think it really matters. Their running game, Lamar doing shit. Mark Andrews, he gets like a little bit more time to get a little bit healthier. Basically, Baltimore looked pretty fucking banged up in that Tampa Bay game, and they still won.
Yeah.
You go against the Saints, I think you should be fine.
They're going to get healthy at the right time, and obviously, you don't know. Roquan Smith. It's what that happened? What, yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, that's when's the game? It's Monday.
That's
Monday. What, 5 days.
Just go safe. Get in there, Roquan. Cause some havoc.
Just
go
head that way and drop him on his ass.
Yeah. It's the red rifle. Again, chase down the ginger. Away you go.
Yeah.
Mate.
But we also already had. You know, we just spent fucking 5 minutes talking about the Raiders and Saints and not knowing what to fucking make of either team. So, which Saints shows up, and can Baltimore get through unscathed? So anyway, but I think the smart money would be to stay with Baltimore. They are, as you said, that little bit more predictable. Have that identity. Yeah.
And at 2.5, yeah, fuck. It's like, it feels great to get the 2.5 with the 3 being the key line. Buys though, the Browns, the Cowboys, the Broncos, let's ride. The Giants, the Steelers, and the Niners. So that's not bad. It's a nice mix of, like, if we're gonna have a week where it's like six teams out, it's like a mix of good and shit. But yeah, no real giant, massive standout games this week, I think, in my brain, right? No. Like, Tennessee KC last year would have been awesome. This year, Tennessee stink. Fuck that. Baltimore New Orleans, it's kind of like, as I said, it's not exactly a storied fucking rivalry for a Monday night game. Yeah. And Rams Tampa Bay, they booked that in thinking, ah, here we go. Classic. Oh, motherfucker. Like, Seattle, that, Arizona might be awesome fun, but other than that, Jesus. Green Bay, Detroit.
That's 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row, because wasn't so last week wasn't the Seattle Giants game the only game with two above 500 records?
Wasn't that on a Thursday though or something? Yeah, like at that point in the season where
yeah.
That was a little while ago, but either way. I picked you by one more pick this week, so extend my lead.
Was that half a fucking point? Last week I put a nice little dig into your lead, which is still half a slab, by the way. But yeah, I thought I was gonna half a point away from pipping another one back.
You got seven. Just going back to your usual,
mate,
under 500.
Nothing if not fucking reliable.
So you've actually gone for sevens on 5 of the 8 weeks. That's pretty incredible, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I nailed 8. So I've gone 8, 7, 8 the last 3. But anyway, 67-55 so far this season. And that's it. NFL Australia, week 8. Yes. Dunskies. Don't forget, we're weekly. I reckon every Tuesday should be a day off, guys. This is fucking easy. I love it. I'm absolutely fucking goosed usually when we do these. And today I'm feeling fresh as a daisy. I'm going to go to the pub now. Fuck it.
Mate, I'm not going to lie. I said to the missus, what's got tight ass Tuesday around Thornbury? Because usually I've got fucking Jimmy at 8:30.
That's it.
So what can I go in and have an adventure?
We could both go down to the Bendy and get some tacos tonight. And away you go. Either way. So chuck us a follow on Facey, Twitter, IG. Chuck us a rating, review on your podcast app, all that good stuff. Big thanks go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go check them out. They're awesome. Get around NBA Australia. We are at the moment 2 or 3 times a week. Lots of social stuff at the moment. Get around CodeBet, as I mentioned. Check out Fox Sports Lab NBA with myself and my good friend, Benjamin Dixon. That's great fun, actually, if you're into the old NBA. Me yelling about it for a couple of moments on camera each week. Might actually be some more NFL stuff on CodeBet, too, with some video. Carving out some time in a very busy schedule, you see, guys. Anyway, what do you want to plug?
I've just started this week. I haven't even announced to you yet, Jimmy. I'm starting a support group for those who have to see James Clement's head more than twice a fucking week, because now everyone seems to be going through the pain that I do, right? I've seen your head in the paper, on TV. I was going to move to video on NFL Australia, but then I thought, fuck, no one, no one needs that much
Jimmy. Too many outlets.
That much Jimmy.
Based for podcasting. Fucking hell. Thank you so much.
Yeah, obviously, I already mentioned the fucking Eagles. For any Eagles fans out there, there's that thing going on in the Sporting Globe in Gold Coast and in Richmond. Eagles Australia, I had that written and ready to record this afternoon. And then I said to Jimmy, hey, do you want to knock this thing over early? And he's flipped my day on its head. So that should come out tomorrow, just talking about this week's games. And yeah, I might talk more about the rest of the NFC East, because there's not a lot to talk about with that Steelers game. But that's about it.
Stuff. Love it. All right. Sick. Well, we'll catch you in a bit, you dickheads. Catch you next week.
See yous.
Later, hoses. I've been stripped.
flesh is dripping from my